This episode is a replay from a live recording of Her Take from the WSUM studios in Madison, Wisconsin. Want to listen to Her Take live? Tune in Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Central Time on WSUM 91.7 FM in Madison or on WSUM.org.
You're listening to Her Take on WSUM 91.7 FM Madison.
With the number one pick in the sports shows draft, the committee selects Her Take. Welcome back, y'all. You are, in fact, listening to Her Take on WSUM 91.7 FM Madison. On the board today, I'm Annika Bereni, joined here as usual by Shannon Maines, Alexandra Kearns, Kate McGran, and special guest once again, David Giardino. We've got some WNBA talk today, as well as USA Hockey and the usual love to see it and hot takes. How are y'all doing? Did y'all watch the draft last night?
Yeah.
Bits and pieces.
I was watching it at a Brewers game.
Really?
So, yeah.
David was not happy with me. That's a true fan right there.
Whenever I hear your last name, I think of, like, of how to pronounce it. I always think of the Gardetto, like, snack.
Oh. Well, doing Vince had to stumble up doing his first softball game of the year because Gerardo and my last name, Fiona Gerardo, and me have a very similar last name. So he said her name as my last name for the half of the broadcast on Friday. So shout out, Vince.
Hey, Fiona. You're famous.
Yeah.
Apparently, you are now, what is it? What is your
name? Wag.
Giardino?
Giardino?
Gardetto's?
Wait, who is Gardetto's?
The chips.
Oh. Wait, who's the softball person?
Fiona Gerardo.
Giardo? I think that's how
okay,
they
that's
say
confusing.
Her name.
It's Gerardo, okay. I remember, because I was reading the pronunciation guide before the game.
Yeah, but PA always says Giardo for some reason.
Used?
I don't know
Giardo
why.
For $100 on eBay.
It's used, by the way.
Oh, you literally go, what is that? I'm like, a snack? I don't know.
I know.
I thought you said that was
too.
You. I was about to get very offended.
No. That's so me, the Gerardettos.
But yeah, I'm curious to, David, this is not necessarily why you're here, but for everyone's outfits yesterday at the draft as well.
Slayed.
Angel Reese won it.
Yeah, 100%. I agree.
Angel Reese?
Yeah. Angel Reese
she
won it.
She looked amazing.
She did look really good, but like, come on. Alyssa Peel, her dress was gorgeous. Peely?
Yeah, no.
It was
Caitlin
nice.
Clark did not win.
I don't know. There's something to be in the first Prada one, though. Like, that's cool in its own right.
Yeah, and I do think it's interesting. I saw a style analysis of her the other day where they talk about how a lot of the times while she's playing basketball, you see her in, like, sweatpants and, like, team-issued gear. But otherwise, she wears a lot of, like, dresses.
Who?
Caitlin Clark.
Oh. Wait, that's actually been all over like, my TikTok dresses. Recently, or it's, like, Caitlin Clark and makeup and how she looks so different. Like, this is so stupid. Like, everyone's talking about, like, of course she doesn't, like, not of course, but, like, she doesn't wear makeup when she plays, and everyone's like, she looks like a completely different person. I'm like, well, yeah, when you see someone, like, actually, like, in the middle of a basketball game, probably sweating so much versus, like, freshly showered with a face of makeup and hair done. Like,
I also truthfully don't think she looks that different.
It's just Caitlin Clark.
It's just the ponytail. Like,
I feel weird though in the State Farm commercials where she like has makeup. She's like wearing her basketball uniform and she like obviously has had hair and makeup done to her, and it's so uncomfortable to me. Like, I don't like it because she's wearing her basketball uniform while also like being like done up. Like, I get it, but also I'm like, just let her live. Like, let her live her life.
Yeah.
Yeah. The opinions expressed on this show do not reflect the views of WSUM, University of Wisconsin-Madison, or its Board of Regents. With that said, maybe we can get into the actual the draft bit. Was anyone surprised by some of the picks? I know we were talking a little bit before the show about the, what was it, the Connecticut Sun, and how we thought Daisha Fair, she went far too late. I know a lot of people have been upset at how late Nika Mule went. Mm-hmm. So while the first six or seven picks went about as how most of the mock drafts had been predicting it, there were a few differences, and I know some people have been a bit aggravated over that. What about you guys?
It sounds like, David, you're pretty aggravated about...
as the resident Connecticut Sun fan, I am so utterly disappointed in the way that my team drafted last night.
Why?
Because as a team that is firmly in the playoffs, when I think 27-13 last year, made a conference finals, to take a project player with a top 10 pick instead of somebody like Nika Mule that could come in and make an immediate impact on a playoff team that maybe doesn't have a super high ceiling, but like can give you very good 3-and-D play. It is a little bit concerning for what I think that the future of the team would be, and I think that I might have to move to support the team of my favorite player in the league instead of my hometown seat. Now, I'm just not happy. The happiest pick that I have with us is our third round pick with the girl from Columbia. But besides that, I'm just not. That was not a good first round pick, in my opinion. 12 points per game in France.
Who would you rather have?
I would have rather had Fair, considering we just traded Natasha Hageman to the Lynx. She was our starting point guard, and we need a guard that can score, and Fair is literally that. Or Nika Mule, who can come in as a wing and play a 3-and-D position. But Fair was the one that I really wanted.
Yeah, I also think it's a little bit insane that the league let the reigning back-to-back champions Las Vegas Aces get Daisha Fair, Kate Martin, Elizabeth Kitley, and Angel Jackson out of Jackson State.
Yep.
And all of those are big names in women's basketball. And now, do I think they're going to make the final roster? No. I mean, the problem with the WNBA is that there's not enough teams and that you can only have 12 players per team. So even first rounders are likely not going to make it. And that's really tragic part about the WNBA. And we need like 20 teams now, but it's still absurd that teams could be passing up on this much talent. Daisha Fair, all time third leading scorer in the NCAA. She made her mark this year with Syracuse. And I don't know. She could have been such a major part of any of the teams had they taken her.
Who do you think actually makes the roster from their draft pool? Because I think it's Fair and Martin make it.
I do too. I think Kitley could. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know about Martin. I think it's definitely possible, but
Martin fits so well on a championship team, though, because she does all the dirty things and, like, the things you'd want for Kitley. Like, I don't know how well she's going to translate.
It'll be interesting, especially getting Kitley well.
Yeah.
You know, she suffered a knee injury, I believe.
ACL.
Mm-hmm. Is that on the knee?
It is.
Yeah.
Okay. We are not doctors on this show. We are just people who like to talk about sports.
So true.
So I think, like, it'll be really interesting to see. I feel like it was a good move for the Aces because it's like they don't necessarily need they're getting depth at that point. It's like they don't necessarily need the star players like maybe the Indiana Fever does, of getting like Clark and Boston on their team, but to have a player who has demonstrated their skills and is able to come in and kind of provide, you know, be a good bench player. It'll be interesting to see. But, yeah, I mean, I'm really excited that Kate Martin got drafted and, you know, she went to support Caitlin Clark and then ended up getting drafted herself. And I think, like what David was saying, she brings a lot to a championship-winning team of being that glue, of also dealing with, like, the star power of Caitlin Clark and like
point.
Allowing that to be like, you have to be a team player. I mean, it's a team sport. And so there's some players who are so good and they are the stars, but you do have to have those players who are going to support them and be like humble and understand their role, and like David was saying, do the dirty work and the things that are not glamorous of, like, you know, playing good defense, being there for assists, just making, like, being the support system for a team like that.
Okay, so if you're thinking about, I know you guys have certain teams have had obviously definitely better picks, upset about some picks, but who won the draft?
Chicago.
Yeah, Chicago was this crazy lineup.
Yeah.
It has insane lineup.
I think Chicago. Yeah. I mean, Indiana probably is up there just because they got the best player.
No, Chicago. And
then they got
crazy.
A very good second round pick too.
Okay, someone obviously is a Minnesota Lynx fan. Someone give me the rundown. I don't.
Oh, Peely's a great pick.
Yeah,
for them.
Peely was a great pick.
I'm so excited that she got picked. Because I
don't know. I guess I'm like not that up. Just like I like women's basketball, but I ain't no expert like some of my fellows in the room.
And that's why we are all here. That's why this is
here to help me out.
A 5-person team, because we all are different experts in different things. Some of us are more expert in other things, and some of us are just like here for vibes, as I'm speaking for myself.
Yeah, same too.
But I think, yeah, Peely is a great choice for the Lynx, and I think she's just a strong player. And I'm really excited to see what she does in the WNBA. I feel like she's like a bit of a sleeper. Like, she didn't have the star power of like Caitlin Clark or Paige Becker or Angel Reese, but I think she has a strong ability to bring a team and, you know, support that team throughout. So I think it was a good choice for them.
I think they did a good job trading down because they knew that Chicago was going to take Reese at 7. And I think that they knew that Peely fits better on their team. So.
Okay, and wait, and someone, I know you guys were talking about Kate Martin. I'm still, how does that work where you can just like show up for the draft to support someone and you end up getting picked? Like,
well, she was in the draft.
Yeah.
But she wasn't invited to the draft as someone who was likely going to get picked in the first or, like, early second round, like a lot of the other players.
Oh, not everyone's invited?
Only 15.
Yeah. So only 15 of them get those little tables with their families.
Right.
And those are the players that the W is, like, pretty sure is going to get picked early on or get picked while it's being televised. And so Kate Martin, she was in the stands. And I think I saw a story about how she didn't even realize she was going to get picked until last minute they moved her to an aisle seat so she'd have an easier time getting to the stage. And I thought that was sweet.
You guys know Coach Jackie on TikTok? Mm-hmm. Yeah,
oh,
did you
yeah.
see her video about it?
I saw her right behind.
It was pretty cool. No, she was talking about how, like, they moved her to the aisle seat and, like, the cameraman did a deke where they, like, went up to film her, but it was, like, 2 picks before when they took Fair to, like, psych her out, but then 2 picks later they came up and started videotaping her again. It's pretty cool.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I think one last thing that I want to talk about before we go to our hot takes is Nika Mule at Seattle. And I think that was a really interesting pick because, as we said earlier, a lot of people were a bit mad that she didn't go to the Liberty, but I know a lot of people think that this is going to be a really good fit for her at Seattle. And so I was wondering if you guys had any opinions on that.
I think Liberty messed up. I think that, like, she is literally the perfect person to throw onto a contending team. I think that, like, she's different than Kate Martin, but, like, she does two things that you need as complementary pieces well. Like, once you get to that part of the draft, you're not drafting superstars anymore. And I think that Nika Mule does a great job. She's obviously a great defender, and she does a great job shooting the ball. And when you're in the playoffs, you need great defenders and people that are good at shooting the ball. So,
and she proved that she can do that in a playoff setting. Because you have players who, like, they can do that, but once you get to the playoffs, then they just kind of fall apart. And I feel like, you know, with the case of, like, Wisconsin's men's basketball, like, you see that. Like, and it's the same. It's like heartbreak after heartbreak of Wisconsin teams. You see it with Wisconsin. You see it with Marquette. These, like, very solid, strong teams that, like, go throughout and then just kind of like fumble. And then like Arizona as well. Like Arizona, I feel like I talk about this. I have zero allegiance to Arizona except for the fact that I have picked them to win in my March Madness bracket. And
yeah,
then
I pick Arizona. Always pick state.
Yeah.
Yeah, you love Sun Devils.
Yeah.
Just never Forks pick up. Arizona.
Yeah, it just, they let me down every single time. Yep. But I think what Nika Mule. Wow. I do know sports. She brought it in that Final Four game against Iowa. And so
yeah,
I think her
guarding was insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, and to guard against such a powerhouse like Caitlin Clark, I think she's bringing that experience to the WNBA because there are so many powerhouses in the WNBA and translating that. And like, I think just like in general, because yeah, it's one thing to guard or like be really a really good shooter or really strong collegiate level player, but like understanding that like you're going to have to take it to the next level in the WNBA, in the like in a professional setting, I think she has that mindset and she can do it.
Yeah, I would agree with that. We are going to be right back in a second to discuss some of our hot takes. And so, yeah, we will see you for Hot Takes on Her Take.
You're listening to Hot Takes on Her Take.
I'm realizing the more that I think about it and the more that I'm about to say it, the more of a hot take it is.
All right, so that was the intro for Hot Takes on Her Take. We never really let it play through.
yeah, I was gonna say never.
Hey,
there is
never gone that far.
It does get a little bit fun about halfway through, about 30 seconds into it. But Hot Takes on Her Take, we have some takes. We're gonna start off with you, David, because we're gonna go right off of our WNBA. Draft discussion to a little bit of looking forward on the year. I see you wrote second-erd.
It was third, and now I decided to make it an actual hot take.
But explain your hot take.
I'm taking a stand on second, and I hesitated to do this because it's overlapping my team. But yes, my hot take is that the Indiana Fever will be the second best team in the Eastern Conference in the WNBA this year.
Who's first?
Well, the Liberty.
Just in the East. So
New York.
Yeah, I think that people obviously talk about Caitlin Clark, but people are not as much talking about how well of a fit it is next to Aaliyah Boston. Mm-hmm. Not just because Boston makes up for a lot of the defensive woes that Clark maybe has. Not that Clark's a bad defender, but not the best defender, and
better on offense.
That Aaliyah Boston will not have to work very hard at all for her offense anymore, considering the amount of attention Clark's going to get and how good of a passer she is. I'm a huge, huge fan of their second round pick, Celeste Taylor, who I unfortunately had to see this year, but was in conversations for Big Ten Defensive Player of the Year, is a good shooter, is just a very smart player, good leader, will fit into that team perfectly. They were already only six games out of third, this upcoming season, and like I mentioned before, I think Connecticut kind of, to my happiness, kind of overperformed last year, going 27-13. I think that the Fever could have that turnaround this year when you're adding probably 20 points, 7 assists, and Caitlin Clark to an already very good young team. They have Grace Berger from Indiana last year. I think they have a lot of good young talent that could take big steps. So I think that they will be second in the East this year.
Yeah, I remember the first WNBA draft I watched a couple of years ago. Lexi Hull went sixth in the draft, right. And that was huge because I'm a huge Stanford women's basketball fan. And
wait,
so,
really?
You like Stanford?
Wait, so what were your thoughts about the coach? Too sensitive.
Hey, let's not do Tara like that.
Did she retire?
Yeah. She did. She shouldn't have.
No,
she's,
I'm just kidding, Annika. Was
she's
right
too
after
young.
Yeah.
She's too young to retire.
We got off of her take.
Although
it was literally
say,
20 minutes after he texts me, no!
I know, because
I was like, that's tough.
She dropped the retirement announcement just like minutes 70. After her take.
Yeah, yeah. But now Gino's going to take kid. The Gino's going to take the wins back.
She's just a kid. She's just fresh out, fresh into her teens.
Fresh out the womb.
Right into the double digits.
Mm-hmm. No, she rode off into just the sunset with last. Brink. I don't hate it.
Yeah, and then Kiki Irioffen.
Yeah, she transferred.
Yeah, and I was really sad about that as well.
I wanted her to go to South Carolina.
I don't know.
She'd fit so well.
She would. She is a pleasure to watch, and she's a great team player. She's a really great personality on the team. But, man, Stanford.
Yeah. It's tough.
But anyways,
is that the hot
yeah.
take that Stanford's not going to be as good next year?
No, I would never say that.
I don't know
that.
How hot of a take that would be.
I mean, I'd love them to do a shock the world on a rebuilding year kind of vibe. But
go all the way.
Hard to do that when you don't have Don Staley at the helm.
Yeah. I mean, Kate Pay was officially named today as the successor. So that'll be definitely interesting to see this next season, but I definitely think that's one team to watch out for. But returning to the Fever, because that's what this was originally about, I do think they will be good. I think they'll definitely have the most eyes on them, and so I think there's that pressure to perform and pressure to be good. But I'm interested to see how things go, especially because some of the foul calling is a little bit more lax in the W, and they also get 6 of them now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
That's true.
So I think it'll be
fouls,
one to watch.
More fouls.
Precisely.
Caitlin, just throw elbows. I don't know, but
I don't
Caitlin,
think you need to tell her to do that. She'll do that anyway.
Caitlin does have a tendency to flop a lot
she does.
Of the time.
Yeah.
So, trying to draw those fouls.
But will she flop in the WNBA? We'll see.
I feel like that's a little humbling.
Mm. I do feel like my hot take to that is I don't think they're going to be second. I think they'll be like fourth. I think
it's better than how they usually do.
I feel pessimistic.
They were dead
is what
last
I'm
this
saying.
Year.
Okay, wait. So if you guys, David, this can be for you too, I guess. But so if you were to be selected
you
for
can
the,
answer too.
If you were to be selected for the WNBA, even if you're first pick, I don't really want to go to Indiana. I'd way rather go to LA.
If I'm from Des Moines, Iowa, I don't think I really care where I go.
That's so true.
It
I was
Midwest.
Thinking about that. Well, the thing I was like, well,
but still,
she's,
I'm from the
like,
Midwest. I'd rather go to LA than
Indiana. But she gets to keep all of her diehard fans.
I was
going to
say that, all her fans will travel there for her. Mm-hmm. So, it will be easier. Obviously, for myself, I'm obviously going to New York. But any team I'm happy on if I'm playing in the NBA.
Yeah, I think I'd want to play for the Liberty, too. That'd be my...
I guess
I think I'd want to play for Sports. Golden State ex WNBA new next year.
I'd
want
to play for the Portland expansion whenever that happens.
Wait, I forgot that was one of our teams we said when we were talking about the WNBA. We were Portland.
And they announced it a few days.
I want to call out Chrissy Bardsall real quick.
Okay.
She tweeted a list of teams yesterday. I'm assuming you all saw that.
Yeah, I saw that.
Why was Philadelphia not on there?
Well, also guess whose take that. 3 of the 5 teams she put out was.
So you should comment and say.
No, I wouldn't do that. I'm a saint.
You just say it on the radio.
I'm a saint
instead.
On Twitter. Yeah, I can only trash her when she's not here.
And
we
had
literally
radio.
Just gotten done talking about that, and then she stole my picks.
Oh,
so.
Wait, what?
But yeah,
Chrissy
didn't even.
Just said...
What'd she say?
She didn't say
it. Oh, okay. I was gonna say she's not listening right now.
Here comes Chrissy with the steel chair.
out of nowhere. She's actually here right now.
Okay. We're gonna move on because we are on a bit of a time crunch. I mean, not really, but we like to divide 15-15-15-15. So, Alex, let's talk about this Olympic track uniform. The Olympics are coming up this summer, and Nike has just revealed the uniform for USA track and field. What's wrong with it?
Thank you for giving me this hot take, guys. This headline for NBC News reveals skimpy Olympic track uniform from Nike criticized by women athletes. Anyways, the uniform for the USA, it looks extremely uncomfortable. And not
so
only that, not,
oh my God.
It just is extremely just unflattering. And as a woman myself, I know I would not like that very much. Just not my favorite style they chose. And I could totally understand why there is criticism for that.
Wait, why? I like honestly, that might not even be a hot take. They are looking a little
horrible.
It doesn't look good. It looks uncomfortable. Like
a little.
Who designed this?
Nike.
Well, it quite literally looks like either a full suit or like a gymnastics.
Yeah, I was gonna say it looks like a leotard.
Yeah, it looks like a leotard. It looks like it's backwards.
Yeah, and even ignoring the fact that it doesn't cover up some parts that you really would want covered up.
Your legs are moving. That thing can shift.
But the design is also just ugly. I don't like the red. I don't like the blue. I don't like that it's like kind of like a weird stripe.
Yeah.
I'd like solid colors and I'd like different shades of them.
Yeah, and noticeable. Like something that attracts the eye, perhaps.
Yeah, stars and stripes. I don't care. Yeah, it is purple. That's the problem. It's like a maroon and like a cobalt.
It's terrible.
And it's like none of those are on the flag. But this does not appear on the flag.
And I know if I'm running in that, not good things are going to happen for me.
And you will get a lot of attention for something that's not your run.
Yeah, and on national television, that's not going to be good. So
chafing galore.
Chafing galore, friction galore, uncomfortability galore. That's my hot take. Thank you very much.
It's a very correct take.
A very good hot take for sure.
All right. Zooming in from the United States of America to one specific state. Shannon, what's going on in Utah as our resident Utah correspondent?
As our resident Utah correspondent. So I found out that apparently the Arizona Coyotes are potentially moving to Utah.
Not potentially.
Boo.
It's done.
Oh, it's done?
Yeah.
Okay. Boo. It was in this works.
Not boo.
I like Arizona.
God, they don't have a hockey, though?
Ugh. Yeah. See, and that's what I'm saying, is I think that the NHL team makes more sense in Salt Lake as opposed to Arizona. I feel like my hot take, though, for this is that the only way Utah is going to get pro teams is if they snatch them from other teams. Like, that is just Utah's MO. It's like, we have the Jazz. You just were, like, snatching that. Like,
it's true.
I don't know. The Royals, they were like, okay, we're going to get rid of that. Wait, come back. We see that women's soccer is now, like, popular. We want you to come back. And so I feel like my hot take is the only way that a team is going to end up in Utah is if they're snatching it from another team. But I don't know if you guys have heard potential names.
No.
Some of the
I saw a really funny tweet.
Oh.
I was going to say, we were trying to brainstorm names on the last hour, and I couldn't come up with anything. So I would love to hear these.
We got the Mountaineers.
Okay.
Which lame.
Yeah, not for hockey.
Yeah.
Fair. I mean, it's just getting similar to Avalanche.
Yeah, it's true.
They have Blizzard, which I don't like that one as much.
Utah Blizzard, nah.
Do they get blizzards?
Yeah, they're high enough.
I think it's really snowy in Utah.
Because I'm thinking like lake effect snow.
No, I feel like it has to be something skiing relating, I think.
Alpine. Yeah,
something
the Utah ski. Chairlift.
I like the Alpines.
Ooh, that's not
Utah
bad.
Alpines.
I would like something maybe like salt flats related.
Okay. Yeah.
The Utah saltines.
Ooh, there we go. The Utah like oyster crackers.
Oh God.
Lakes.
Utah Lakers.
Utah Lakers, bring it back. And then I think the other one they have like Pioneers.
No.
Boring.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not like any other team.
I'm a big fan of the Mountaineers.
Yeah.
That's my choice.
That reminds me of the Lumineers.
Oh, wait. No. The one that, okay, I take it all back. The one, my choice is Yetis.
That's not bad,
Okay, you're going to laugh at this just because we've talked about BYU so much. My roommate just texted me and she goes, it should be the Utah Dirty Sodas. Because you know they've been obsessed.
Yeah. Oh, they're so good. I love those videos.
And I tried it. They have it at my local Sonic back on Long Island.
Ooh.
I went with my sister the night before her birthday. Happy birthday. I mean, what's better? And it was delightful, honestly.
Wait, because my roommate and I want to make them, but we forgot over the weekend. Now we're receiving the curse.
Kate, they have a specific Coffee Mate Target brand for it. It's like a creamer.
We're stopping at Target on our way home to get the dirty soda.
What about, I have two that I'm finding on this Salt Lake Tribune article.
Okay, but I want to ask Jenna first if she's ever had dirty soda.
Yes, I actually had one recently, and I went all the way out to Utah just so I could do it.
Wait, that was over spring break?
Yeah, I can show you the picture. So I went to Swig, shout out Swig, So just so I could get a dirty Dr. Pepper, because I was like, I have to do this. I'm in Utah. Like, there's something. I'm like.
You're not going to show us a picture?
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. I'll like show you guys a picture. But like, it was an experience. If you've never experienced the joy of the soda franchise that has taken over Utah, it is.
Has it always been a thing?
It has become very popular in recent years.
For those who are not familiar with dirty soda, it's like a soda, and then they put a bunch of like syrups and like add-ins into it.
The famous dirty soda brand?
So I know there's one very popular one that is like Dr. Pepper with like cherry syrup and like coconut cream.
Mm-hmm. Well, raspberry. I got a Dr. Pepper with raspberry puree and coconut cream.
And was it good?
That sounds cool.
I mean, it's pretty good. Like,
can I see?
The funny thing is like, I don't know. I think it's just like funny because
that's
it's
awesome.
Like,
we were generally looking up the Swig menu the other day when we were thinking about dirty sodas.
Well, it's so crazy because now, like obviously coffee's not a big thing in Utah, but like energy drinks are, which is more concerning to me.
Like there's always like Red Bulls in them.
Yeah, and they have like these weird energy drink ones that I'm like, that makes me concerned because it's like energy drink, some syrup, and then like this random Coke, like coffee creamer. They have a drink as well that's like. That has like a gummy shark in it. It's like Sprite and like blue raspberries.
I've seen that one.
Something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I wish we had soda shops here because I do enjoy a good dirty Dr. Pepper.
Be a pop shop here.
But yeah, when was the first time you tried a dirty soda?
Let me see. It was back in. When was the first time I.
Yeah, like back in ancient Mesopotamia.
Back in Mesopotamia. Back in the 1960s.
In the Indus River Valley.
When women couldn't vote. That's when I had my first dirty Dr. Pepper. I had it, I think, probably like when I was in college the first time. Mm. I had went and like visited. Oh, this is a fun little side anecdote.
Well, they're also so cheap.
The drinks?
The dirty soda.
How much are they?
I don't know.
$2.15.
Oh, really?
What?
That's not bad. That's
or
like $2.85. Less than a soda.
Some of the other ones are the Heartbreaker, the Dr. Pepper, Blackberry, Coconut, and Half and Half is $3.25.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I feel like they're decently priced. Like, compared to, like, an alcoholic beverage, you know. But
those guys in Utah. The Utah dirty sodas are going to be rich.
Utah dirty sodas.
I'm going to go to Utah. I'm going to go to the Utah Mountaineers game and get myself a dirty
soda.
That
would be...
or take field trip.
You know, the thing that I think will be really fun is there are so many, like, niche restaurants that are huge in Utah. Have you guys ever heard of Cafe Rio?
Yes.
I love that this episode has...
We're going to have to transition away from this at some point.
The title of the podcast is going to be... You want a dirty soda?
It could be Salt Lake Cafe Rio's. I don't know. I feel like that might be a little.
I found a couple. So the Salt Lake Specters, like a ghost.
Okay.
Ooh. Salt Lake Sliders, like a hockey puck slider.
That sounds like food.
If you want, it does sound like food. If you want to go with the Salt Lake Shakers.
Ooh.
Oh, I like that.
The Salt Lake Saints. And the Salt Lake or the Utah Moose.
I like the Shakers.
I like the Shakers a lot. Shakers.
That's awesome.
I should be an ambassador for them.
I could see like the Flats. I feel like that'd be fun.
It's too mountainy there.
Okay, but they have salt flats.
Oh, they do have salt flats.
Yeah.
That's literally what the Salt Lake Flats is named after.
Mm-hmm. The Utah Pops.
I'm going to make the case for the Yetis because there are so many mythical creatures in the Western Conference.
It's true.
Mm. That I think that the Yetis makes the most
like the suns.
Sense.
What?
like the suns. The sun isn't real.
It's
the
not.
Opinions expressed on the show.
No. Los Angeles isn't a real city.
That's correct.
The Utah abominable snowmen.
Mammoths.
Okay, we are really on a time crunch here, so we're gonna switch over from the sodas to our favorite Minnesota girl.
Ooh. Yeah, so the soda to the soda. With the Minnesota accent.
Minnesota.
Okay, NHL. I know, like, I guess since the Wild aren't doing that well, I haven't been as invested. I know we don't have any Bruins fans over here. Oh, nope. Thank God we do. Thank God. Thank God David's here for that. But I think the Bruins are going to choke for the playoffs. I mean, I know that they're
they always do.
Does it count as choking if we're bad?
But they're the number one ranked team in the Eastern Conference.
They're so bad.
They're 47-19.
Uh-huh. In the Eastern Conference?
Yeah. Yeah, or for the Atlantic Conference.
Oh, okay.
We're bad.
For the Eastern within, like, the Atlantic within the Eastern.
Got it.
But so, like, they have, like, for technically for that, I was looking at the standings and wild cards for stuff, but.
No, we're terrible.
Wait, David, you're a Bruins fan?
I'm from Rhode Island, so I'm a Boston Sports and Oklahoma City Thunder fan.
Interesting. Boston. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I just feel like that they're.
A hotter take is that the Rangers are going to lose, but
sorry, okay, we're getting
Alex.
There. We're getting there.
Okay. All right.
Your second and last time on her take.
Yeah, jeez. I'm sorry.
Well, yeah. I mean,
yeah, we're bad.
I'm not
we're
really
lose
like
first
dying
round.
To see anyone.
They did it last
do
year.
That well. I mean,
we did it last
I would like
year.
To see the Hurricanes, I guess, kind of do well.
As long as it's cold weather, I don't care. As long as it's two cold weather teams. No Florida.
Yeah,
no LA.
I agree with that.
But
no Texas. Just give me
Alex, would it kill you to see the Islanders
give
in it?
Me a
no, I would love a Rangers Islanders series would heal families. It would
I think it would tear
economy.
Families apart.
I think that I would be the most tense person for like a week and a half while this going on. Like I would probably be crazy on her take. So that would be an amazing series. So
we could talk about the fact that the Rangers and the Islanders, we literally just said it, will heal families. We should talk about that just for like a solid 20 minutes.
Yeah,
just like
sure.
We talked about.
Wait, yeah,
sodas.
We should do a segment next week or something on what sports things would heal families.
Ooh, that's a good idea.
Mm.
All right, I'm going to finish up hot takes.
I can't and then, we're still on hot.
Yeah, it is approximately 8:39. We should have been done with this about 10 minutes ago, but.
Hey, it's fun. It's
yeah,
radio.
Yeah. We're having
no
a good time.
No.
Yeah, we can have a short discussion of hockey right after this. Mm-hmm. But yeah, my hot take is just that the NBA having an East and West division is really lame, and I don't like it. And I'm tired of the Warriors versus the Kings first round.
That's just because you're gonna lose.
Well, no, it's not even because we're gonna lose. Because I like both of those teams.
Oh, I
it's
see.
Because I like both of those teams that I hate the fact that there's always one that's gone early, and it's like. Why is it always the West playing the West and the East playing the East? Why can't we have a little bit of crossover? Whatever happened? What is this?
Travel.
1803? Louisiana Purchase hasn't been made yet? Come on.
The historical references.
I'd have less
not...
of a problem with it if it was actually the East versus the West. Because, like, just the way that it's laid out is stupid.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
New
like...
Orleans and Memphis are in the West. Mm-hmm. And, like,
what?
And
Memphis
like,
is very much not West.
Milwaukee's in the East.
Milwaukee's in the East.
No, it's not.
No.
It is it is Midwest.
It's because
I think it would make sense if they cut it off like one side of the Mississippi, other side of the Mississippi, but even then I'd still be mad at that.
Or just like expand, put
teams.
A team in Seattle, move Memphis to the East.
Yeah.
Or Minnesota to the East. Or
Bring
New
back
Orleans
the bullets.
To the East. Well, you what?
The Seattle Bullets.
Oh, see.
Right?
Supersonics.
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 Ooh. Okay.
It was the Washington Bullets.
Mm.
Oh. Washington, D.C.?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, whoops.
With that said, we are going to go to a quick break. Then we'll be back to discuss a little bit of USA hockey. So stick around after the break. Her take will be right back.
Looking for more from WSUM? Check out our FM signal for dynamic music and talk shows, live sports broadcasts, and daily news coverage. We're proud to bring you alternative programming 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Tune in to WSUM 91.7 FM Madison for something you won't find anywhere else.
Welcome back to Her Take on WSUM 91.7 FM Madison. We are 45 minutes through this show, and yet we are 50% way through our assigned...
You're all so sad that we're going to be done soon.
I feel like the people want to hear that.
The people
wanna
wanted
hear
to hear
we're
about dirty sodas.
Yeah.
Dirty soda world.
I never finished my tweet about
authentic.
It. Yeah. No, that's why the people love her take is because we're not afraid to not talk about sports on our sports show.
You're not like those other shows.
Yeah.
We're not like those
We're not like the Jardine.
What? Hey, 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 hey. We went. We are not the poster child for good content. We go on so many tangents.
Yeah, anyway. We
are they about sports though?
Sometimes. I did go on a 20-minute rant about how Anthony can't cook pasta right last week.
How much does that pain you as an Italian?
So much. He made plain spaghetti with nothing on it.
What?
That's the most that's the most Anthony core thing I've ever heard.
He at least salted the water, okay. But there was no butter. There was no sauce.
No butter?
And then he tried to make the excuse it was for my chicken parm. I was like, well, if you have chicken parm, it needs more sauce anyway. You can't have too much sauce. And then I saw him touch raw chicken and lick his hands.
No.
This has all been said on the air before, so I don't feel uncomfortable saying this.
Are you shocked? Like, this is not surprising me about Anthony. Like, if you told me that was maybe Joey, I would.
Joey's a true Italian man.
I would say with Joey, I'd be more skeptical. He has more clean. But Anthony, I'm like, yeah, that checks out.
Wait, David, how Italian are you?
2%.
75%.
Oh, okay.
On a scale,
I mean, my last name literally means garden in
Italian.
Yeah,
I was gonna say it is very Italian.
On a scale of eating your pasta with a spoon, how Italian are you?
No, you eat it with bread.
Ooh, fire!
That's
cake.
More.
What's
Italian.
Your favorite type of pasta?
I'd love to see it.
Oh, jeez, you don't need to keep going more off track. Annika wants to keep going.
No, but really, answer pasta question.
I don't have anything to say about hockey, so I'm not
keep
losing
going.
Anything.
Okay. Say the pasta.
It depends on what you're making it with.
That's we'll have a talk after.
Okay.
Yeah, it depends on what you're making it with.
Next podcast dropping is going to be about
pasta
dirty
one?
Soda
and pasta.
Utah and
ooh,
pasta.
This is a great idea.
Okay, guys, I think we can do
a quick hockey.
U.S. Canada. U.S. got silver. Canada got gold. I mean, Badgers on both teams. Good game. Not a lot you can do.
A lot of Wisconsin in that game.
And Layla Edwards.
She's got that dog in her.
Layla Edwards, O'Brien, Hillary Knight, Kirsten Sims, and Hillary Knight got in the scoring as well. So shout out Boston PWHL.
I mean, yeah, Hillary Knight, iconic. That's it.
Shout out Mark Johnson.
Wasn't Layla Edwards like the MVP of the tournament? Or
yeah, she had a
hat trick. And then Sims had the goal.
Yep.
Yeah, and like the second game, right?
It's always so funny to me when you like I love Layla Edwards and I love her on this team too because I think she's so good on this team. But like, if you ask me to name like the top three players on the Wisconsin women's hockey team, I would say Sims, Harvey, and Carl. Like, I wouldn't even put Edwards in the top three of that. But then like
I think
when
that's
she gets
honestly valid,
right? It's but then so when she stacked, it's because though. Of how good we are, and then she gets on the international scale, and I don't know what it is with Layla Edwards playing for Team USA. She just goes absolutely insane in those games,
American
and it's so
pride.
Fun. Yeah,
well, she also like in the last few games she was not playing very well for us.
Yeah, I mean that is what it is. But like
I mean, like not
it's crazy to see like arguably the fourth or fifth best player on our team go to the national team and then just go crazy because that's how talented this team is.
Stacked for sure.
All right, we're gonna move right into Love to See It really quickly. So we'll see you in about 30 seconds, I'd say.
Here are the things that we were big fans of this week. This is Love to See It.
All right. Usually we'd let that play for a bit longer, but we've got things we love to see this week. It's also very funny because we walked into this and the starting five minus one, minus two.
It's one.
Minus one. Yeah, but
sometimes
you're missing two.
No, we've consistently had four this year. It's just been a rotating fourth.
So we walked in and we were complaining about them going all the way up to the buzzer. But
yeah, those idiots.
We might be going there, so...
Hey, but we don't do that that often, so it's okay.
I don't think we do it to you guys that often,
do we? I don't
think
you do either,
okay.
No.
I try to be a good host.
I'm sure you are.
I'm not even the host, so it's not my fault.
But speaking of hockey...
Yeah, speaking of hockey, we are going to start off Love to See It with a little talk from Alex. Alex, what did you love to see this week?
Hi, guys. I'm back.
She went. She left.
Alex
real
has
fast.
Been here the whole time.
I have
record.
Been here the whole time. Sorry. Back with my take. Love to see it. President's Trophy, the New York Rangers. Of course. We all saw this coming, right?
Yeah.
Right. So, off of that,
there's a little aggression here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
these are our love to see. It's not our hot takes.
Oh my goodness, a lot of animosity in this room right now. I believe it's the hurricane the tornado warning.
Hurricane. If we were having hurricanes out here, that'd be.
That's why I played the song.
Sorry, no, it's because of the song. Got it in my head.
Yeah.
Anyways,
is there no tornado song?
I'm sure there is.
You spin me right round.
Yeah, it's a good one. There you go.
President's Trophy.
Yes, President's Trophy. This has just been such an amazing Ranger season, but me and my dad have been stressed. And I mean, I have not seen this man so stressed in a while. And this is because he knows the curse that comes along with it. Although that this team is so incredible and amazing, there's just a curse. We've seen it with the Boston Bruins before. I hate the Boston Bruins. I'm so sorry, but it's so frustrating when you see a team breaking records 1 week and the next week they're losing first round of playoffs. So I truthfully hope that this does not happen for my team. But still, such a great accomplishment. This team I've seen grown in plenty of ways. I mean, the players that you think are getting older and are just not playing as well, it doesn't happen with this team. They just work so well and they have the best chemistry. And my favorite player at this moment, Matt Rempe, is such an animal and a beast, and I want to buy his jersey right now. Have you guys seen him?
He's the one that gets in fights, right?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. They have a shirt that says, the Rempire State Building, and I really, really want it. I really, really truthfully want to get it. But yeah, he's such a great addition to the team. Not to go on a tangent of him, but he's a 6'7 monster, and I feel like he is one of the best players they could have brought up. But yeah, so just a great accomplishment, and that was my love to see it. Thank you.
So true. We're going to move into basketball a bit, and we're going to start at the international level, actually, with Kate's love to see it for this week.
You guys know we're all about that Olympic hype, of course. Paris Olympic men's team, I know it just kind of got finalized, but what a squad. So many good players. I know LeBron is kind of out there for one of his – he's kind of on the end of his career. What a way to – oh, my gosh. There's a lot of lightning in here, and it's getting a little creepy.
And it's going to match the thunder.
Yeah, the thunder. But, I mean, just thunder. You got the Clippers in there, the Celtics, the Wolves, the Heat, the Pacers, the Suns, the 76ers, Lakers again, Celtics again.
Warriors?
Suns again. Warriors.
Yeah, Steph Curry's first Olympics.
And the Lakers.
Wow. And Steve Kerr's there.
He was always been there. He's been there for a bit.
Steve Kerr. Just so fun. I don't know. I just love to see it. It's going to be such a fun crew. I mean, you really have all the age ranges going from Anthony Edwards to LeBron. There's a good 15-year gap there.
Yeah.
But I'm really excited to see just the depth this team has. And I think it'll be a really fun team to watch, and it'll just be really entertaining. So that's personally what I'm excited for, and I haven't been excited about an Olympic basketball team in a little bit.
This is the year. If the U.S. doesn't win it this year, then we might be officially cooked as the best basketball country.
100%. No longer a legacy team, if
this
you
is
will.
Literally the best team that you could possibly put together. If this team doesn't win, no team will.
If we don't that's cook sad. Germany...
Oh, jeez. You know it's going to be like Spain or something. It's going to be like one of those
Lithuania.
Countries. Latvia, yeah.
I know. It's I feel like we should be worrying about France. The Serbian countries and France. Mm. There's going to be some rando team. But except no, it won't, because we're going to cook everyone.
We're going to cook.
We're going to take that gold medal
it's
home.
It's
going to
be
easy.
Incredible.
My first ever hot take on this show was about the Canadian basketball team.
Aw.
Yeah.
Aw.
Yeah.
Full circle.
You've
full circle.
Been here before. You had a hot take.
No, my hot take was on over the phone.
Oh.
No, you were here 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, you were here.
No, but my first hot take was on
the
phone.
Oh,
over the phone. It was my first hot take on the show.
Okay.
As a caller.
Fair.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, was that when you and Anthony were calling us?
No, Anthony didn't get to come on.
Oh.
Only I got to come on.
But speaking of more basketball.
Oh, yeah, speaking of some more basketball and also the international arena, my love to see it this week is just the story of Camila Cardoso.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's really heartwarming, but it's also the immense things she has faced in her career. She is, for those of you who are not aware, she was 15 when she left her home in Brazil and came to America to play basketball. She didn't know the language. She had to learn that. And she joined... She played for Syracuse first?
I don't remember. I think so. That sounds right.
She played for Syracuse, but then joined South Carolina. And she was just under the leadership of Dawn Staley. We love Dawn Staley here on Her Take. And Dawn Staley has just made her into a fabulous player. And then for senior night, Dawn Staley, there's a bit of trouble with her family's visas, but Dawn Staley was able to work things out and bring her mother and her sister in. They were also there at the draft last night. And it's just a really beautiful story of a player who's been able to defy all odds, who's been able to grow up in a new country, and who got drafted third in the WNBA draft yesterday and will make a real impact. And so I really love Camila Cardoso. I love the South Carolina Gamecocks, and that's my love to see it this week. Kind of staying with the draft, Shannon, what did you notice about Holly Rowe last night?
Okay. First, Annika, I feel like there's a pun that you missed. You could say that we're all Dawn Stanleys here.
Sure.
It sounded better in my head.
You could say Dawn Staley has a Brazilian of superstars, superstars that she's made.
Yeah.
That's South Carolina.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's off the noggin.
Did that one just dawn on you?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway.
Oh, wait, that was good. All right, we've got four minutes left.
Speaking of things that I'm a fan of, Holly Rowe during the NBA, like the WNBA draft, I have loved her. Like, her coverage of college basketball. She has done an amazing job. She is just, like, she's fun and energetic and positive. And, like, I feel like she just is so excited about what she does. And watching her be able to go and be a part of the WNBA draft was just, like, amazing. Like, I don't know. I feel like Holly Rowe, I love watching her career and seeing how she's, like, developing as like a reporter and like where this is gonna take her in the future. I hope she keeps doing women's basketball and that people keep seeing her, because she is such a good presence. But I do love the fact that the height difference from her and so many of the players is pretty funny.
I love it. She didn't need a stepladder anymore. Yeah, that was my favorite.
She just, like, has mm-hmm. her little mic up. It's a good time. I appreciate it. She is 5'5". Why did that not tell me? Why wasn't that the first thing that we saw? Come on. But anyway, I just, love to see it. Love to see women succeeding in sports and also in sports broadcasting.
Yeah, so our final Her Take, or our final love to see it of the night, is about the aftermath of the draft and what happened, David.
Well, I mean, my original love to see it was actually yours. I just, that video just resurfaced on my Instagram of like when they surprised
with
Cardoso
Marta.
With her parent and mother and sister at practice.
Too. That was so beautiful.
Yeah, that was a great video. So, but my love to see it is that Fanatics just reported that Caitlin Clark broke the record for most jersey sales on a draft night across any sport, beating out Trevor Lawrence for most. So
I like Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Wow,
that's
awesome.
Pretty cool. I didn't think that, like, I figured that, like,
they kinda
LeBron
similar.
In 2003 would maybe have it, or, like, think about all the insane people that have been drafted.
Yeah.
You know, and Caitlin Clark is the one that has the most jersey sales
that's
ever.
So exciting.
Sold out the Fanatics site for
wow.
all sizes.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
That's so exciting.
Well, what a night it was.
Wait, quickly? Sorry. The Capitals just clinched the playoffs.
With a -37 goal differential. It's terrible for hockey.
It's just a terrible night.
Anthony hear about this.
Okay, I won't. But this is just really upsetting.
Wait,
who
would they clinch?
Such a terrible team.
Who would they clinch from?
We got to wrap it,
Annika.
Otherwise, we'll just keep talking about hockey.
What if I just mute everyone's mic?
Do it.
All right. Thank you all for listening to Her Take this week. We'll be back next week with more hers and more takes. But thank you from our studio here in Madison, and good night.